Good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Tonight, going to be digging into history. Need to understand more about history, and I'm going to talk about pregnant and burying the dead tonight. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Oh, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a hero so many of us have, well, in my humble opinion, seemingly forgotten. Do want to get into some scripture as well. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about more resources at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You can find our paperback books. They're on Kindle as well. Our podcast, also our blog is there. Again, that's worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Zechariah 2, 4 through 5 states, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. Friends, I'll connect that up later on tonight. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. This week, I wanted to share with you about Elizabeth Masser and Peter Thorne. Many people don't even know who they are. They immigrated to the United States from Germany and were married in Gettysburg in September of 1855. The Thorns were German-speaking Christ followers who worshipped in Gettysburg Church, where other German-speaking Christians of both the Lutheran and Methodist denominations, they actually shared worship space. Now, friends, the same year they were married, the cornerstone of the local cemetery was laid. This is where their story really begins. A few months later, Peter was hired to be caretaker of what was to be called Evergreen Cemetery in Gettysburg. An archway with interior living space for the caretaker was built as a gateway into the cemetery grounds. Elizabeth's parents lived on one side of the archway building. Peter and Elizabeth lived on the other. Today, there is a caretaker house built behind the arch on the right side. Friends, 6 years later, when the Civil War began, the Thorns had three sons. By 1862, Peter felt it was his duty to join the Union Army, and he enlisted in the 138th Pennsylvania in the infantry, leaving the cemetery caretaking duties to his wife, Elizabeth, and her father. At the time, the cemetery was averaging about five burials per month back in the 1800s, our friends. On June 26, 1863, Confederate soldiers began moving into Gettysburg. As the Confederates arrived, the Gettysburg community had little choice but to answer their demands and feed them. The Union Army of the Potomac was not far behind the Confederate movement. General Oliver Otis Howard, also known as the Christian General, and his men came in on the road that took them past the cemetery. So, friends, they stopped at the Evergreen Gatehouse looking for a man who could familiarize them with Gettysburg. Friends, 6 months pregnant, Elizabeth Thorne stepped outside as the most capable volunteer in the household. Did you hear that? 6 months pregnant. She accompanied one of General Howard's men into the field, pointing out the main roadways and lesser-known local paths that the soldiers could use. That night, Elizabeth had prepared dinner for Union Generals Howard, Sickles, and Slocum. In return, General Howard ordered some of his men to move the family's belongings to the cellar for safekeeping. Elizabeth asked whether the family should leave the area, and Howard allowed that they could stay, but they should go to the cellar when fighting began. He added, when they give you orders to leave the house, don't study about, but go right away. It was understood that if the family needed to move on, they were to take nothing with them. The next day, the fighting began near Cemetery Hill, and the Thorns, along with some neighbors, took refuge in the cellar. At the conclusion of the day's fighting, friends, a soldier arrived and told them to leave, that they should follow the main road so the soldiers would know it was them in that open fire. The family made it to a farmhouse before nightfall. Hoping for food, they found none. But they had a place to spend the night. Elizabeth, friends, was among the Gettysburg citizens who set down eyewitness accounts after the siege. So, friends, we haven't heard words what happened to her during the next few days. She wrote that the next day, she and her father traveled back to the gatehouse to see if they could retrieve any possessions. Now, on their arrival, they found that their hogs had been killed. The windows of the house were shot out, and the trunks that had been taken to the cellar for safety, they'd been emptied. The house was filled with wounded men calling for water. Outside, townspeople were beginning to deposit the dead who had been killed around town. Starting late on July 4th, General Lee began to move some of his men back to Virginia, and the family made their way back to the gatehouse. As they arrived, they saw vast numbers of bodies that had been delivered to the cemetery for burial. There were also 15 dead horses near the house, and 19 other horses had died on the property nearby. Friends, just imagine this. The stench of animal and human decay was overpowering. Just a reminder, Elizabeth Thorne is 6 months pregnant. The house itself was in shambles. Three local women came over to help Elizabeth wash what was salvageable. And cemetery president David McConaughey came by to see Elizabeth and directed that burials needed to move forward quickly. He went into town to enlist volunteers, but those who came soon became overwhelmed and left. Some of them too ill to continue. Some of them simply repulsed by the grisly work. Though Elizabeth received no extra pay for her work, nor were the Thorns ever compensated for the damages they incurred, Elizabeth Thorne stretched to pay some workers, but even they did not last long. For the most part, friends, the work was done by Elizabeth and her father, working in the heat of mid-July. The heat and humidity rapidly and appallingly driving the decay and stench for as long as daylight lasted. Ultimately, they buried 105 war casualties, 91 soldiers, 14 civilians. Despite the hard work of digging graves, Elizabeth managed to carry the baby to term, giving birth to the Thorne's first daughter, Rose Meade, named for General Meade, who commanded the Union Army of the Potomac at Gettysburg. On November 1st, 1863, is when Rose Meade was born. Peter Thorne returned home in 1865, and the family remained at Evergreen as caretakers until 1874. In 2002, a Civil War Women's Memorial was dedicated, and the memorial is within Evergreen, near the gatehouse. The sculpture depicts Elizabeth attending the burial duties. Her face is full of anguish. Her apron covers her pregnant abdomen, and she holds a spade representing all she did. Friends, later on tonight, I'll revisit Elizabeth Thorne and her actions through the lens of God's word and what lessons we learn from this sister in Christ who endured so much and did the, well, what seems to be the impossible. This is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason Zurich. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. worldviewwarriors.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
Friends, I think we need to take some time and answer a question that all of us need to ask ourselves. What can we agree on in society? Can we agree that it's time to get to know our neighbor and even some of our friends on social media better? Instead of demonizing each other, we need to let people start really having productive conversations, because it's difficult to make someone a monster when you know them and they know you. Friends, truth will set you free. It can set us all free. To dig into this idea more, go find our blog post titled, United We Stand, Divided We Fall.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I so appreciate you being with me here for Do Not Keep Silent. You can find our blog post at worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab there. Been sharing with you some information from my friend Michael Homula about Elizabeth Thorne as we continue on tonight. I'd like to dig into lessons in the suffering and trials of Elizabeth Thorne. Friends, as I shared with you her story briefly earlier today and what she experienced, endured, and what she did during those three fateful days of July 1863. All while 6 months pregnant, my goodness, I'd like to take some time and look more closely at Thorne and what we can learn about the character of God and how we should respond when we face suffering and tribulation. In the summer of 1863, when a battle came to Gettysburg, its citizens were trapped between armies and soon witnessed that the universe of battle was broad and complicated, and they too would have to be players in this drama. Many stepped in. They performed all sorts of duties. During the crisis, some acted as spies, some picked up a rifle and defended their homes. Others cooked, and most ultimately nursed and comforted the wounded and the dying. But friends, in the case of Elizabeth Thorne, she scouted ground for the Union Army and then took on the gruesome task of burying all the dead. I should say the dead, all while 6 months pregnant. It is truly an amazing story. She is an American hero that we need to remember and we need to learn many things from. Thorne documented her experience like virtually no other in the town of Gettysburg at the time. Friends, in her writings, we find a woman weary but strong, frightened but courageous, horrified but comforted. And we must ask ourselves, why was she able to do what she did in the face of such tribulation? Immediately after the battle, upon returning to the cemetery in the gatehouse, and this was her home, friends, she found dead and dying men littering the ground. And if you remember, she was ordered by the cemetery president to begin burying the dead immediately. She wrote, "Yet for all the foul air we two started in, I stuck off the graves and while my father finished one, I had another one started. This lasted for days until two others came. But one only stayed 2 days, then got deathly sick and left. The other stayed 5 days, then he went away very sick. We kept on burying the soldiers until they had the National Cemetery ready. And in that time, we buried 105 soldier. It was only excitement and God that helped me to do all the work with all that stench." Friends, the why was her God. The temptation to run away from the horror, carnage, and stress, friends, it must have been enormous. No one would have faulted her for doing so either. Instead of sinking into a paralysis of fear or run to get away, she turned to Almighty God and he delivered. And friends, he always does. This is a lesson those who follow Jesus and declare as God, as Father. It's a lesson we all need to learn. In Zechariah, the prophet heard great news from an angel about Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. That's Zechariah 2, 4, and 5. Dear friends, in Thorn's weak, fragile, and vulnerable condition, Almighty God afforded her protection. I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. If it were true for the vulnerable village of Jerusalem, then surely it was true for Elizabeth Thorne. And it is true for us today as God's dearly loved children. God will be a wall of fire around us. He has been. He will be. Friends, it gets even better though. Inside that fiery wall of protection, God says, and I will be the glory in her midst. God is never content to give us the protection of his fire. He will give us pleasure of his presence as well. Friends, this certainly would be an encouragement to Thorn during the days and months of hard and gruesome labor. And it should be sweet to all of us. It should carry us through whatever we face in our lives. There are seemingly infinite lessons for us in the suffering, perseverance, courage, and fortitude of this pregnant woman burying the dead at Gettysburg. Friends, worldly suffering, it is inevitable. But God has many reasons to allow us adversity. Just as Jesus suffered before and on the cross. Dear friends, it may sound odd, but sometimes we are given tribulation in order for God to receive glory. Friends, consider the events of Daniel, especially those considering Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were to be thrown into the flaming furnace for not worshiping a pagan god. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, 16 through 18, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. In other words, in this tribulation that the three were receiving, God would be glorified in their deliverance from it. Similarly, just as Elizabeth Thorne faced her trials, we may face trials so that our perseverance in God may one day glorify him when we are delivered from the hardship. Friends, we also face these adversities to build faith. Now, many people see this as opposite. One would think that trial and tribulation would cause a believer to lose faith in the Lord. However, friends, this is exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Faith is built by being tested just as how exercising, though it's uncomfortable the most, it builds muscle. Friends, in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, Peter emphasizes this idea. Peter tells us that our faith would be found to glorify Jesus, though it be tested by fire. Friends, the classic example of this is Job, who, although he lost everything, maintained and built faith in the Lord. Elizabeth Thorne's faith was tested in a way that none of us are likely to experience, yet her faith remained firm under fire. Friends, as I wrap this up tonight, we also face adversity and trials to grow. Adversity and tribulation, just as it helps us to build faith, also helps us to grow more complete and mature not lacking anything, especially in perseverance, character, and hope. We see in Romans 5, 3 through 5, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, that's Romans 5, 3 through 5. God promises that our growth occurs in a process starting with hardship. Hardship gives us a reason to have perseverance, to get through it no matter what. Perseverance builds character by having us trust in the Lord and be humble. Finally, good character gives us the hope we need to overcome the hardship. And friends, let me be frank with you. Elizabeth Thorne at Gettysburg, with what she faced, with God on her side, suffering and adversity beyond what any of us really could imagine. I mean, she is a great example of living out the Christian faith. My name is Jason DeZurek, your host for the program. Thanks for taking time to be with me. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurek.
I have had a number of people ask me to give an update on how being in a health co-op has been for me and my family. Many people are now beginning to realize that expanding government-run programs, departments, and power is really nothing more than a huge loss of freedom and liberty. Still others want to expand the government's power and influence in the lives of individuals across our nation. And just one way people are struggling in this thought process is how one deals with their own or their family's health care. Well, dear listener, I'd like to challenge you in this whole thing and have a biblical worldview instead of a secular, humanistic worldview and your mindset. You see, the choice really is up to you. Why not go find out more about this at my blog post titled, There Is a Better Way, Almighty God's Way.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. As I wrap up the program tonight, I want to direct you to our website there. You can find many resources available to you. Before I get to those, some of you might be wondering, what in the world is Worldview Warriors? Well, we're a group of godly leaders passionate about teaching and worshiping the God of the Bible. We engage students, parents, and grandparents with relevant biblical discussion and challenge them to bring the message of Jesus Christ to this generation. Some of our core values: the Bible can be trusted and provides the only coherent framework for life. And Jesus Christ alone is our hope and the only real and lasting hope for the world. It is only in Him that we can find truth and change in our lives. One thing we definitely believe around here, the Bible, we believe the Bible is the holy, inspired word of God and that it is inerrant in the original autographs. 1 Peter 3:15 states, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Again, worldviewwarriors.org. You can find our resources there. Podcast, blog is available as well. Also, I'd like to direct you to one of our paperback resources, also available on Kindle. It's Tough Questions, Biblical Answers to Life's Challenges, written by Katie Erickson. Who is Jesus and why does He matter? Another question Katie addresses is, homosexuality really a sin? How should we define marriage and why? What is the purpose to life? How should I read the Bible? How should I pray? Friends, it can be difficult to find answers to questions like these and to discern what the Bible says versus what the world says. Well, this resource will guide you to biblical answers, friends, to these and many other challenging questions we find in life. Friends, Jesus never said that living out our faith would be easy. But this book will help you get equipped with biblical knowledge to guide you in life's journey. Friends, if you've got tough questions, well, the Bible has answers. Again, that's Tough Questions, Biblical Answers to Life Challenges, written by Katie Erickson. It's available in paperback and on your Kindle if you have one of those as well. Thanks again for being with me here. For Do Not Keep Silent, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. And before I leave you, I do want to encourage you, please, if you don't mind, please let your friends know, not just about this radio program, this podcast. I encourage you to let them know about the ministry of Worldview Warriors. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Thanks again for being with me. And we'll see you next time. Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Don't be a pushover. I'll see you next time.